Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to get into the Word now. We thank you for the Word of God because the Word of God instructs us. It's our bread from heaven. It's everything, but every word has to be consumed and ate. And we have, that means that we have to meditate it, dear Heavenly Father. And I thank you for giving us the ability to meditate the Word of God properly. And so today, as we begin to speak the Word of God, may everyone be blessed. And thank God for those that, who have brought their ears to hear, Father. Because once they receive the insight that they need, they have the ability then to apply restraint in their life and to grow thereby. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In Proverbs, I had to turn to Acts chapter 2, but in Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord." Notice it said, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord." And it goes on to say, "Searching all the inner depths of his heart." Now, one thing that you do not find there is the term fire, but candle. Candle or a lampstand. In some cases, people call it a lampstand. And now, if you have turned to what I've asked you to, Acts chapter 2, I believe that everything is symbolic when it comes from the Lord to this natural realm. It helps us understand that which we can't see to that which we can see. And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." That included Mary. Those of you that are Catholics, that included Mary. Praise God. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them." I do not like this term, divided tongues. Actually, in the Greek it says, "tongues as of fire distributed and resting on each of them." On each of them. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" Now, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, lighting all his inward parts. I believe here on the day of Pentecost, when last Sunday we talked about when he comes, and we were referring to the fact that when the Holy Spirit comes, we are all going to know when he has come, and we do know it. According to Scripture, it was on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully come. Now, there are many people who literally teach that when you get born again, you've got all the Holy Spirit that you need. You don't need this so-called separate act divine empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And people, that is a doctrine that is not scriptural nor sound, and it came out of the pit of hell. I'm going to be just that blunt and that frank. I'm going to tell you something. If over the years that I've been pastoring and been around people, those that are not Spirit-filled don't have very much victory in their life. But once they've had that second initial act of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you'll find that they are more susceptible to a move of God and the power of God, and you'll find they're not very religious. But also we find that those who have spiritual freedom sometimes can go overboard and then be spiritual free, so free that we are not good examples or witness to the freedom that we have received from God from on high. And I believe that God is a God of order. I believe that everything that He does will either promote a desire within human to desire more of God, or else literally amplify what truth is concerning the mind of God to us who walk upon this physical earth. Amen. He is a God of order. He does create soundness of our mind. Now, with that thought in mind, notice he said the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. And on the day of Pentecost, our spirit was lit. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, our inner man is lit by the Spirit of God. And we read here very clearly that something began to happen that we don't realize what had taken place hundreds of years before this incident. There was a place called, and you probably remember, the Tower of Babel. How many of you remember the Tower of Babel? And we find that mankind made a decision to do the very thing that Satan told Adam and Eve that mankind would become. They would become their own gods. Or a better interpretation would say, mankind can now carve their own image of their God. That is the harlot system that we find in the book of Revelations, where Satan has really programmed in the minds and hearts of men their concept of what their God is. And we all know, according to 1 Corinthians, it says, there's only one God. We all know that, but not everybody has this knowledge. They think there's a whole bunch of different gods floating around in the atmosphere. You follow what I'm saying? And so we begin to get this concept of the understanding that Satan wants two things in our life more than anything else. Because the whole concept of where we're at now as a church falls upon two things. It falls upon, first of all, our mind, our soul. That is very important, especially to the kingdom of God. And the second thing that falls upon the responsibility of mankind is his mouth, his tongue. Hello? And so those are the two things that Satan wants access to. He wants access to how you think, and he wants access to how you speak. Because he knows that's how the kingdom of God can function and operate in you. And so when the day of Pentecost had fully come, you are actually looking at scriptures and said, that is the beginning of the church age, or the age of grace that was not unfolded in any other generation, but now is made clear through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, where he said many times, I have been called to complete the New Testament to reveal the church age. It is basically what I'm saying. And when that church age comes to an end, when the last Gentile is brought in the mind of God, it's over, and the church will go on home and be with the Lord and forever be with the Lord. But in the meantime, while we're here, it is very important that we understand why Jesus had to give us the Holy Spirit in understanding of our natural mind. Because number one, our natural mind cannot know God. It takes the mind of Christ to know God. And number two, our mind has to be controlled by what we say with our mouth. Those two things are made very clear in Scripture. Even though we don't hold true to it, but that's what happens. Now at the fall, many of us don't really realize the purpose of Satan and what his goal was. And I'm going to make it very simple and very easy. In spite of all the teachings that we had in the past, you know, I miss my mentor. I miss Kenneth Hagin. He was my spiritual father. I miss him terribly. But I've noticed that there's a shift in the atmosphere once he was removed. And it's not a good shift. It's a negative. But I would love to see more ministers take that spiritual position that he took and held on to for stability in the church age. And I believe that many of us are growing into that place of stability. But when I presented something personally with Kenneth Hagin that would question a little bit where he was coming from, he would never criticize me or point blank say to me, "You're in error," or he never turned around and walked away from me. Because that's the way he was. He wouldn't argue with anybody. But I'll never forget when I had the chance to ask them some questions. And I was very fearful about them because it involved the process of the renewing of the mind. And I'll never forget, he put his fork down and knife and he leaned back and he was looking up. And I'm sitting there literally trembling in my seat, you know. And he turned and he said to me, he says, "You know," he says, "we can lay the foundation, but another has to build thereon." He says, "What you just said, you're building on the foundation that I had laid." Boy, I was so relieved because it was like he was saying, "Where you're going is okay." He wasn't saying that you're in error. He didn't walk away from me or, you know what I mean? He didn't jab me with the fork or the knife. And so it put me at peace. But then I began to realize at the fall, knowing how he worked with Adam and Eve. Now we've had men teach us wrong concepts, wrong doctrines, very dangerously wrong doctrines. And one of the dangerous doctrines that have been taught the church through the church age, and I'm not talking about way back when, I'm talking about more recent, more modern times, is that we've been taught that the sin nature that entered the world entered the spirit of a man, and it never has entered ever the spirit of a man. The sin nature entered the world, not this realm of a man's spirit. And thank God that man was, first of all, a spiritual being, had a soul and lived in the body, which makes him qualifiable for redemption. He can be redeemed because he really is spirit and soul. Actually, when you say three-part, it's really kind of a misnomer, but really, actually, man is a two-part being. He has a physical being, and he has a soul and spirit for an inner man. Because your soul doesn't have substance like your physical brain does. Your physical brain is part of your natural body. But it has to have a part of the soul to function through the senses. And that's where the sin nature entered. It entered your carnal thinking, your carnal mind, the mind of the senses. And for what purpose was that given? Number one, Satan could not have any say-so over the spirit of mankind because God was the one who gave the law of the spirit when man was made out of the dust of the ground and God breathed into him the breath of lives, plural. It meant not only the breath of the natural mind but also the spiritual mind. They're formed as one within the soul. And so the soul is made up of the two minds. That's what I was asking Kenneth Hagin about because he taught that it's the soul is renewed, but not the spirit. And I questioned that because I was beginning to see that renewal is not that you had anything evil in your spirit. When it was made brand new, it was separated from your outer man by your inner man through Scripture, through the understanding of Scripture. You can see now how you're divided up as spirit, soul, and body. You only know that through Scripture. It says the Scripture is a knife that does that cutting. And so you you have to understand what you are as a physical being having a soul and living, what, in a body as a spirit. The only way you know that is through Scripture. Can anybody say amen to that? You can't look through your eyeballs and see yourself tripart. You see. So the only thing that you can count on is what you read in Scripture. Now, how much should we rely upon that? Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you believe that when you gave your heart to the Lord, you were saved? Amen. Come on, let's get some hands in the air. Amen. Amen. Now, how many can believe you question that? Well, you don't have to raise no hands on that, because every one of us are in that same position. So I'm going to tell you something about the fall of mankind. Satan showed up. And he wanted to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. Satan's goal. You might as well write this down. I ain't gonna have this printed out. Satan's goal was to join man's spirit to his flesh, separating man spiritually from God, making him one with his flesh. Man loses. Over time, man loses spiritual identity. Now, Adam and Eve, did they take the fall? Did Adam and Eve fall? Thank you. I mean, that's clearly understood in Scripture. Now, the thing that gets me is even after the fall, we see that something took place in Adam and Eve. But there's something else that was a little strange. God kept a communication going with them. He made a provision for them after the decision they made to receive a nature into the world. He made a decision that he knew that he had to now have a Redeemer come and take the place of the Adam that had fallen, and his name would be Jesus. Everybody plugged in here? His name's Jesus. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's the one that we refer to B.C., A.D., what is A.D.? I thought it meant after death. But actually the term A.D. is Adam Domini, which literally means the birthing of Christ in the major, in the manger, the birthing of Christ in the manger, removed all obscurity that God never existed. So when you were looking at the birth of Christ, when he was in that manger and came out of that womb, all obscurity as to whether God existed or not was found in him. All obscurity is removed. Glory to God. But mankind held on to their own gods, continued to carve their own images, and allowed other nations to come in and impregnate the Jewish nation and cause other gods to come in and everything. Are you following what I'm saying? And over a period of time, a process of time, man became alienated from God through that fall spiritually. He lost his spiritual identity. That's the very thing that Satan wanted to do. So much that he told Adam and Eve, you'll become your own gods. And it showed up in Nimrod at the Tower of Babel. Everyone began to work together because they all spoke the same thing. They all did the very thing that the fall wanted to accomplish. And what was it? They would become their own God. They would carve their own image of whom they would worship. And it got so perverted it went to themselves. Don't tell me that that sin nature that entered the world doesn't bring with it a perversion. It does. Anything outside of God is perversion. And so we know now that the mind of man had begun then to work together to accomplish what they desired to accomplish. And God came down to visit them and found that they were doing the very thing that God created man to have a right to. And that was the freedom to worship Him without any hindrance, and found that they had exchanged Him for whom they wanted to worship.
Right.
So you know what He did? God came down. You can read this in Genesis. And saw that nothing would stop them to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. It would affect the whole world. Clear up to our time period. What? That we'd carve our own gods, our own image of worshiping God, without any hindrance. And God said, I'm not going to permit that. So what was the first thing that God did to stop that action? Can anybody tell me? He changed their language. Wouldn't it be weird to wake up and you're speaking in a tongue? You understand the tongue, but your neighbor next to you doesn't know what the heck are you saying. I was reading one article about the history at this time period when it said that their languages were changed to where they couldn't communicate with each other. The thing that this one man, through a series of scripture, brought out the fact that it was not just the mother and the father that had received that different language. It was also the children. So not only did Papa and Mama not understand each other, neither did the kids. That is how precise God went to upset that whole bunch. And so it dispersed them. It stopped what they were doing. On the day of Pentecost, we find God coming down and doing something very interesting. Because over a process of time, man began to divulge how to communicate with each other in the language that God had brought confusion to. And that language then grew in the souls of mankind from that day up until the day of Pentecost. And God said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down and give them a language that their natural mind cannot understand at all. I'm going to give them something called glossolalia, a tongue of the learned that would literally come on the inside of our spirit and light our lampstand called fire. You know, I hate these revival songs I'm hearing. Come on, God, ignite my fire. God lit it on the day of Pentecost. He lit it one time. And that torch is still burning today. Hallelujah. It's still burning in spite of what some theologian would come along and say, that tongues no longer exist for today. They are ignorant, they are stupid, and they don't understand that they're coming against their own kingdom within them by understanding God with their natural mind rather than reaching out to God with a language that their natural mind doesn't understand to communicate with them so He knows what to put into them. Spiritually. I'm going to tell you something. You'll find yourself dragging when you get spirit filled and don't pray in tongues. You'll find yourself dry up quicker than fruit left on the counter without putting it someplace for it to stay fresh. It'll wither and dry up to where you go to eat that thing and you can't eat it because it stinks. Why? Because that language was not given on the day of Pentecost to pass away. That language was given on the day of Pentecost so that you and I would always have the ability to go behind our natural mind, our natural thinking where that nature entered, and go into the mind of God who created the universe. God is a big God. He has a big mind, and you can't understand it with your natural mind. It has a nature contrary to God. And so God had to give you a language, and He had to separate your inner man from your outer man so you would have a reborn, rebirthing to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new. You've got to believe that. If you don't believe it, then have your ignorance. Now, I've seen people refuse the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more confusing. There's people that are so discouraged. They don't know how to kindle a fire in them. They were like Timothy. Timothy went to Paul and said, "Paul, how do I get a church going?" And Paul says, "Oh, here's how you get a church going." He tells you all about how to set a church up. Then Timothy comes back to Paul later on. He says, "I got the church all together. I selected deacons and all this stuff. And everything's working smooth. Now what do I do?" And you know what Paul said? One person said to me, well, he was telling Paul to stir up his ministry gift. That is not what he was saying. The first time he talked to Timothy about starting the church and setting it up, he said, that calling that God gave you by the laying on of the presbyter's hand, the elders of that group. And when they laid hands on you and called you to that ministry, this is what your calling is supposed to consist of. This is how you do it and everything. That's book of 1 Timothy. And so after Timothy did that, Timothy goes crying to Paul again. And Paul says, stir up your ministry gift. That's not what he was telling Timothy. He says, oh, so you've got a spirit of fear about you. Things aren't working for your benefit. Timothy, what have you been doing? What have you been doing, Timothy? You haven't been stirring up that gift on the inside of you. Do you know that when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've got a fire in there? It's called a little flame. You know what you got to do to get that little flame to really become big? You got to fan that thing. You got to do something about getting that thing going. I'm going to tell you, every time I got out of fellowship with God, I got so dry in God, cracker juice was available for me to drink. That's how dried up I'd get. And I'd stop and I'd say, I got to get hold of myself. Stop that. Other things started getting in the way. And then I said, God, I'm so dried up, I don't even know if I can find life. And I asked, God, give me a key ingredient to get this fire going on the inside of me. And God says, pray in tongues. Oh, I've heard that from Dave. Day one, I'm so tired of hearing him praying in tongues. I'd start praying in tongues. And the first day I'd get up, dry as cracker juice. Second day I'd get up. Third day I'd get up. Fourth day, oh, I feel a little spark come. Fifth day, woo, woo. Sixth day, ah. Seventh day, ah, and then I'd get on fire again. Where'd that come from? Day of Pentecost. You know what I was doing? I was refilling myself. And guess what? Nobody else can do that. It would be nice if you, and believers will do that. They'll get so dried up. Man, it wouldn't take the enemy not a drop of the hat to get you distracted. Bloop. I know where they're going. God doesn't have the preeminence. Bloop. Just drop something in there, just distract you. So you can dry up more. Like I say, that fruit on the counter, leave it out there long enough. It'll shrivel. That thing looked like a cantaloupe, it'll turn into a raisin. You leave it on the counter long enough. But you got to do something about feeding that puppy. And boy, you start speaking in tongues, the next thing I know, whew. And you know what goes with that? When you get a fire on the inside, you first thing does is God has, get a hold of yourself now, God has the preeminence. He's the first place that you look to for your next step. Why? Because we go down this road of time and then we get off the road that God extends us for to get on. And then we go and we get sinking deeper and deeper. And God says, get back on that road. Next thing you know, Now, why am I preaching this? I'm going to tell you, we are living in a time period called perilous times. We are living in the last of the last day. And I'm going to tell you something, people. You need a leading of the Spirit daily in your life. Amen. You need to be fired up daily. Now, why am I getting so hard on you today? And God got hard on me. You always think I'm preaching to you because I'm the exception to the rule. That's not true. I'm preaching to you because I'm the example of a rule that needs to be fired up. And I woke up this morning after having a dream from God. I went to bed negative. I woke up lit up. Because during the night, God dealt with my negativity. Gave me a dream. And you know what the dream, basically the dream was, you're an enemy to yourself. I woke up, well, where does the devil come into the equation? When does he have a part to it? Why are you always picking on me, God? We got a devil running around here. And God said, well, now that you've mentioned that, let me show you something in the Word of God. Now I'm going to tell you something. You want to know how you guys want to live? You want to know how you want to live? I'll tell you how you want to live. If God was to take all of us in this building right now and transform us back in time to the Exodus of Moses, we would be God's friend big time. We would be the ones running to the Jewish people and tell, don't be upset, don't worry, we understand God can bring water out of a rock. And if you went back in time still knowing what you know now, and you sat there and started murmuring and complaining with them Jews, and said, you know, there's something wrong with your thinking. You are a ditch brain. You now got history to know the history that they went through, and yet you cannot stand with them. You're going to stand with them against God. You, not one of you in here would do that. You know what we'd do? We'd all not wait for Moses to put the rod out. We'd all find our own rods. I hope you would do that. Seeing how you got memory of the Bible and history, you'd probably run around to them Jews and say, hey, you nutcases. I'm going to tell you, this is what you're going to do. This is what you shouldn't do. Because you got the history now. You know what's been going on over time because you got your Bible in your hand. Give yourself some credit. People, give yourself some credit. Now, guess what? We don't have a Red Sea to face. But we got our own seas. We got our own water to be concerned about. When you're in the water, guess what? Don't be afraid. It won't overtake you. If you end up in the fire, don't be afraid. It won't overtake you. I got news for you. I don't need somebody to tell me that what God's capable of doing. I just need somebody to tell me, how do I get to a place to let God be capable of what He wants to do through me? That's what I want. You can give me a sermon that will move my emotions. But my emotions will not rescue me when I have need of God. It's how to use the knowledge of God to rescue me when the waters want to overtake me. When I get into the fire or something, I want to know how to get through it so that I won't even smell like smoke. Thank you, listening audience. I can see none of you are jumping up and down on the pews and getting excited about this, but it's the truth. So you get some idiot come along, well, you know, tongues really belong to the devil. Where does that say that in the Word of God? Don't believe that lie. Tongues were given to you so that you could bypass your own thinking and just speak directly to God, because tongues were designed not to speak to a man. Tongues were designed to speak to God. Why don't they grow up and read their Bible? I got news for you. It will shock some of you, but I got news for you. When Jesus came, Ad Domine, when He exposed Himself as literally God in the flesh, all obscurity now removed. That's what AD stands for. All obscurity is now removed because God dawned himself in this realm and made himself visible in the actions of Jesus, in his tongue and in his mind and in his sacrifice. Everything came. And you know what? I don't care how refined you get for your little religious thinking. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not ceased from healing. Healing has passed away. Baloney! Get back to your Bible. Jesus is still walking today through mankind saying, I want to heal you. I want to deliver you. I want to set you free. That is the love of God. That's what motivates God for your life. His love for you. You might not feel loved by him. That don't change his love for you. You might not feel healed, but that doesn't mean he won't heal you. You might not feel saved. That doesn't mean he hasn't saved you. Why, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you go to him for healing, he says, I will. When you go for him for whatever you need, his answer is, I will. It's just that we shut ourselves off from him. But I got news for you. The Holy Ghost has come on the day of Pentecost. And I want all, you know, I never got into these people that argued against whether tongues were or weren't. I was one of these people when I heard it and I found out it was a direct line to God. That's all I cared about. How do I? Okay. Some days these people go for these fancy phones. They want the best the money can buy. They want the top of the line Samsung. They want the top of the line. Was it droids? iPhones. Droids. I didn't even know there was a droid. So you gotta have the best of the phones. The best of the phones. I want the best phone. But now will this phone connect me with God? What button do, what app? Is it an app? What app will connect me with God? Oh, there ain't no such thing. There's no app to connect me with God? No. The Bible app. Oh, the Bible app. That'll connect me with God. Boom. Then you'll find a translation that says,
Paul was given a thorn in his flesh to humble him.
Well, that ain't connecting with God. I got news for you. I don't care what Bible app you got. It ain't going to connect you with God. What's going to connect you with God is take this, remove it, and go, Hurra, shake it, abaharate. Ola, barashende, get abarate. Ola, brishando, korea, dashenede. Ala, barashekede, bedede. It's all right to speak in tongues during your service. Now, I don't believe in speaking in tongues because somebody was obnoxious to do it before everybody else to show them how spiritual they were. Speaking in tongues. Now, I'm going to close with this thought in mind. We're going to go on next week. Satan's goal was to separate man spiritually from God, making him one with his flesh, so that man would lose their spiritual identity. But the Lord's goal was now to separate man's spirit from his flesh, so he could again communicate with him through his spirit.
Woo! You believe in speaking in tongues?
Yes, I do.
How often? As much as I can.
What does God talk to you about that? I'll never forget. I went to God. In closing, I went to God and said, God, is it really that necessary to do that much speaking in tongues? And I heard this laugh. And God says, you live in Washington and don't know anything about clouds?
And I says, well, I know something about clouds. He says, what do you know about them? Well, they're above me. Because I didn't know the point he was trying to make. And God spoke to me and said, do you know that clouds gain water that's in the earth? What? Did you know that? The clouds form by moisture in the earth? Goes up and builds up in them clouds? Till what happens? Till the water comes out. You mean to tell me you're speaking in tongues, you know what it means to seed your cloud? He says, that's what you're doing when you speak in tongues. The more you speak in tongues, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. But I'd rather speak 5 words in communicating to a human being than 10,000 words in a tongue. Why? Because the tongues was not given to a man so he could speak to man with. The tongues were given to man so he could speak to God with. He says, what you do, I am the cloud of wisdom. And when you seed me, he says, I'll bring that wisdom to you in the form of rain. That's Hebrews chapter 6. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers, living water. This spake he of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he gets in your spirit, he will begin to put that language to your lips and you'll communicate to God and your natural mind saying, shut up, that's stupid. What are you doing? That's your own gibberish. You know that isn't God. Nobody ever had that thought? And besides, you can't do it all this time and think you're going to receive anything. And in the meantime, you're seeding God where God is. You're seeding it for him to dump all of that wisdom on you when you are ready for that watering. Now, turn over to Isaiah 66. I'm trying to get through this, but the Lord doesn't want me to stop. I actually didn't realize we were going to take up an offering for Sue. I really didn't. Sorry, Sue, you took some of my time. Isaiah 66, look at verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made. Now watch this. And all those things exist. Now let me ask you something. Is the pew that you're sitting on exist? If you question it, touch it. He says the Lord, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Now, we know where he's coming from. He had Solomon build a temple. And it was grand and it was glorious. And all the children of Israel, ooh, and ah, and ah, and ooh. But the children of Israel got away from the temple. Got drying up. You got to read it. Isaiah. And everything. And God says, is this the house that you think that I built out of all that existed? That I created? That's the house? No. He says, that's not the house that I'm looking to build. The house that I'm looking to build is the spirits of just men.
Yes.
Made perfect. So he did something when Jesus rose from the grave. He made man now eligible to whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. And their inner man can now reconnect with the God that they had lost from the fall of Adam. You can reconnect with God now with your spirit.
spirit, not with your flesh. And all of you qualify. Can you imagine all of us going back in that time period? And we would say, now wait a minute, you guys, you're crazy. What your actions are murmuring, complaining. Wait a minute, we got to go into prayer. We got to go into prayer and talk to God. And every one of us would go into the very throne room of God himself and expect God to commune directly with us what to tell them. Why? Because we have been placed as a son and daughter in the kingdom of God. We have been put in the same place that Moses was put to speak face to face with God. That's what Moses said. I am the one who spoke face to face with God. You can speak face to face with God. Praying in tongues. That was a language he gave for you to speak to God. The only problem is it's not your natural face. It's your spiritual face. Yeah. And notice what he goes on to say. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, but on the one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Now notice what he goes on to say. He who kills a bull as if he slays a man. He who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood. He who burns incense as if he blessed an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. And when I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before my eyes and chose that which I do not delight in. And you know what? These verses are very confusing when you stop to think about it. They would slay a man as though it was just another bull. They would not consider that man's life at all. They wouldn't be thinking from the same perspective that God was thinking from. Are you following what I'm saying? He said you would offer a grain offering, and what would it be? A grain offering. You would offer it as swine's blood. As far as you're concerned, that grain offering that you offered didn't mean a hill of beans to God. Because when you offer swine blood, that's what you would do in contempt of God. Are you following me? Matter of fact, there's people that did that in the Old Testament. Swine's blood rather than grain. Why? Because man's concept of what God wants and God's concept of what he wants are two different things. And that's why when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you have a different perspective altogether of God. You just got to wait upon him, pray in the Holy Ghost, read scripture, and let the Holy Ghost do his job. And quit relying upon people that brought God down the road of time with their intellect. Your intellect don't know a hill of beans. Anything I know about God is because I prayed it out. And not because some man put it there. I relied upon the Holy Ghost, just like John said. It doesn't mean that I don't go to teachers and doesn't mean that I don't. But there's a lot of people you can't trust in. They no more have the capacity to know where God is and where he's going and what the prophetic is all about. I won't even listen to them kind of people. Because if you can't find the right religion, how in the world are you going to find the right God? I preach to you enough. Repent and give up, you guys. We'll stop there. Next week, I want to go into some things that's on my heart about some changes in the body that we're going to be doing. It's for the betterment of the body, and I'll get into them next week. We don't have enough time now, and I got to check anyway about doing it. So, okay, everybody, stand up. Hallelujah. We got to get out of here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you guys get something here this morning? Oh, praise God. Man, let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. You know something? If you would do this, take 30 minutes of your time. Even today, I don't care what day you do, take 30 minutes of your time just praying in the Spirit. Your head's going to wander all over the place. Are you following me?
You're going to think all kinds of things. Like Kenneth Copeland said, he prayed in tongues in his garage, and he says his garbage can drove him crazy. Kept looking at you, and he'd dump that and all this. And tried to distract him, but he just kept praying in tongues. Pray in tongues for 30 minutes, and I guarantee you, if you pray in tongues for 30 minutes, you'll feel differently. Yeah. You want to know why? You're fanning that flame. Yeah. That's why he said the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of your heart. And when God fans that flame on the inside of you, oh my gosh, that Holy Ghost gets to working in your spirit. And that's saying, you know, your spirit starts feeling edified and feeling charged up. And next thing you know, you go, oh man, I feel differently. I don't feel the same. I don't feel attached to this realm. That's right. Keep going. Hallelujah. And you'll get so far out there spiritually that God won't have a problem communicating anything to you. He'll be able to give it to you and you'll know it's Him. But as long as your body is in major control of your walk, it's hard to hear God through a donkey. Almost said the other word. That's how I look at my outer man. He's a donkey. Thank God I'm going to shed this and get a new one. Shed the donkey and get a stallion. Let's do this together with your head bowed. Your eyes closed. If there's anybody here that can truthfully say, Pastor, I've never received Jesus as my Savior and I want to do that. I want to come into the kingdom. I want to know a different realm than where I'm at. All you have to do is just say with your mouth, I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. It's that simple. But it takes you an act of your own will to let your tongue receive Jesus. And if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and you haven't been speaking in tongues very much, shame on you. You need to stir up that gift in you. That's why Paul told Timothy, Timothy, I know why you got all these problems on your mind. You need to stir up the Holy Ghost. Wasn't telling him to stir up his ministry. He said that the Holy Ghost that you had received when I laid my hands on you. That's what Paul was saying. Stir that gift up. Stir it up. You get on fire and you'll find answers. You get on fire and you won't be going where you're not supposed to go. When you get on fire, man, you know where to go. When you get dried up and you get in places you don't belong, you're going to find tragedy awaits you. It goes with the territory. Well, I don't know why I did that. I do. Got out of fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Stay in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. He'll even give you wisdom how to work for those that can't walk with the Holy Spirit. You got to have confidence in God. So if you can truthfully say today, I need to speak more in tongues, I want you to step out and come on up here and let me pray and lay hands on you. I want to come in agreement. You're going to flick your bick. You're going to light your fire. And if you don't want to come up here and have us pray with you, then make a decision in your own home, your own personal walk with Him to do something about your infilling. Can you do that? Who in here doesn't? Well, I guess I shouldn't have an altar for that. That's each and individual thing. Yeah. All right. Listen to all you guys. Get into your prayer closet and start speaking in tongues. Get that lethargicness, that complacency off of you. Come to the garden. Get in it with Jesus. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for these wonderful people as they go their way today. I pray that they just do what You put in my heart to ask them to do, and that is to communicate with You in that heavenly language and feel that surge of power begin to grow in them. Father, fill them all today, daily. Fill them to the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their hearts by speaking in tongues. Go home and talk to God. God bless you.